Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. Stay up to date by following Devin on Rumble.com to watch the podcast or downloading wherever you listen to podcasts. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here's your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast, a special presentation. You can hear me live from CPAC just from over the weekend. Hope you enjoy.
Absolutely. That's isn't it good to be at CPAC?
It's great to be back at CPAC. Thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome.
So we're going to talk about California, and everybody here knows California is not like Las Vegas. What happens in California doesn't stay in California. And we're seeing a lot of that with the Biden administration. You've been there, you know, you've been representing California for some time. What do people need to know about what's happened in California? I mean, a state that used to be the emblem of middle-class success in America, where the middle class has now been hollowed out by these progressive policies. What is it that people need to know?
Well, it's really how I got into politics was because of these radicals that started in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I always tell the story that I'm the big San Joaquin Valley, the agricultural mecca of the world. And all right, we got somebody from the San Joaquin Valley back there. And what I always joke is in the 60s and 70s, they would drive through our area smoking pot probably, and they'd smell some cows and they'd see some dust and they'd say, well, we got to get rid of all this. You know, and then they'd go up into the mountain, smoke some more dope, and then they would go back. And, you know, then they became radicalized and they figured out that they could take over the government of San Francisco, they would take over the university. So a lot of this stuff that you see started in the 60s and 70s in the Bay Area. And they went on to Hollywood, they went on to the institutions. And we were essentially the guinea pigs because they used the green movement, right? Which is really the what I call the watermelon movement. It's green on the outside and red on the inside. And they targeted farmers, right? And it was always to save a little fish and, you know, who wants to kill the little animals? And they turned it into that agriculture is somehow bad, and you know, slowly they've been taking farmland out of production. And that's what got me into politics, because I grew up farming, and I said, what in the hell's going on here? I mean, we're good farmland is being idle. And a lot of people would say, don't they understand? And we initially had people within the state said, well, let's just give up a little bit. And then let's just give up a little bit more. And now what turned into a little bit is now, you know, soon going to be about 1 million acres of farm ground, the most fertile farm ground in the world, that's going to be idle. So that's what got me into politics, was this radicalization. And then, of course, I've been warning people that what you see in California is coming to the rest of the country.
And they have a plan to do that, right? I mean, they passed a giant slush fund bill through the House last night, in part to bribe other states to follow California's lead.
Right? Yeah, so what people have to understand, this bill that they passed, that, you know, this $2 trillion bill, this is about, it's a slush fund. And these guys are very predictable. They ran this play call before, people may forget. But when Obama was first elected back in 2009, what did they say? We have to have a stimulus bill or the whole economy is going to collapse. And so they passed roughly an $800 billion bill. Well, that money was then used over the next 4 years to buy votes, to give to their buddies, and I guarantee you most of that money did not end up in red states or Republican districts. You know, it went to things like, this is another California special, high-speed rail.
Which now is working great, right?
Yeah, so I get a little bit offended because they call it the train to nowhere, but nowhere is actually where I live, so I don't really like that, but it's a little over 100 miles long. They went through and they carved through and took people's land away from them. And it's essentially, if any of you have seen it, it's worth actually seeing, because you'll be driving down Central Valley, the freeway, and you'll look up and you'll think that you're looking at, you think you're back looking at some Roman or Greek ruins. because you've got these huge pillars that are standing up, you know, going across the freeway, and it's this thing's like not even half built, and we're tens of billions of dollars in, and we're going to do tens of billions of dollars more. And I wouldn't be surprised if this slush fund that they passed, if they're not going to put more money into this high-speed rail. I mean, you already know that that part of this money is going to go to build a tunnel from Silicon Valley to San Francisco. Now, look, these tech oligarchs are the last people that need anybody's money. And they sure as hell don't need a tunnel from Silicon Valley to San Francisco.
They don't want to have to sit in traffic in their Teslas, though, right? I mean, that's...
Well, the other funny thing about these guys in Silicon Valley that continue to do this, like, I mean, I thought everybody's, like, panicked with COVID and, you know, who the hell's going to get into a train or a bus? I know they're not going to.
Yeah. So, I mean, the left is always really good at consolidating their power, right? When they take power, they figure out how to tip the playing field in their direction. We're seeing that with H.R. 1 in Congress, which I interpret, and I want you to tell us if this is right, that H.R. 1 is basically about taking California election practices and trying to force them on the whole country. Is that right? And what have you seen in California as a left?
Yeah, absolutely. So what happened in California, I think it's important. It's a good question so that everybody understands what they did. So we had absentee voting. A lot of people liked it. You know, it was very convenient. You could sign up for it, signature, and then eventually, then they moved to permanent absentee voting, which that was very simple. You know, reduced paperwork. It was not a problem. Then they came along and said, well, when you go into the Department of Motor Vehicles, you're going to register to vote, even if you don't want to register. They register you to vote. And the first little game they played is, if you walked in and said, no, I don't want to be registered to vote, then they'd say, okay, and they'd not only register you to vote, but they made you a permanent absentee. So then the ballot was being mailed directly to your home. Then what they said, so essentially then over the last, I don't know, 5 years, virtually everybody's registered to vote, and ballots are just flying out everywhere. Next thing they did is they made it so that you could actually go and pick up the ballots. So, in matter of fact, any of you that are in here, even if you're a foreigner, you can actually go to California and you can go door to door and harvest ballots if you'd like. Okay? So imagine that replicated across the whole country. And that's kind of what you saw. That's why people forget, right when this pandemic hit, one of the first people to come out and say we were going to have to do absentee voting was Obama. And they said that back in May. I think it was April or May is when he first said that. It was the first time that I had seen that, and I was thinking, what? And then, of course, they went to all their friendly places they could get this done, and they essentially started the first step of saying that, well, everybody has to absentee vote, and, you know, we know what happened.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, they talk about being progressive, but they're really rolling back progress, right? I mean, progress in elections used to mean allowing people to vote in private, where they couldn't be intimidated, and, you know, having a reliable process that was sort of transparent. I mean, how do we explain to the American people? You mentioned, you know, voting by mail seems very simple. A lot of people, including a lot of Republican voters, especially older folks, you know, they hear that and they say, well, it's easier, and we've got this pandemic going on. Yeah. How do we help?
Well, if they were actually doing it because they were trying to make it easier for people to vote, that would be one thing. And there are ways you could do it if you were truly trying to make absentee voting work and be safe and be secure, right? But they're not into it for that. So you might as well not even get into a dialogue about how to make that happen.
So what, I mean, is there, this is a tough question, but what's the hope? I was going to say, is there hope for California? But there's always hope, right? I mean, this is a state that used to export John Ford movies and Ronald Reagan, and now it's exporting socialism to the rest of the country. But give us a glimmer of hope for the Golden State.
Well, look, we have this recall effort that's going on. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this is going to work, because essentially there's two questions. So one is, do you want to recall Newsom, yes or no? Yes, okay. The second question is, then anybody who wants to run can be on the ballot and run. So Republicans, Democrats, Independents, and it's essentially, so if the answer is yes to recall, then you have to vote who would want to replace Newsom. So Newsom can't be on that ballot. So what we're going to have to do is, as conservatives, we're going to have to rally behind one candidate. There's a lot of good candidates that are talking about it right now. At the end of the day, when it comes, you know, time to push this, we're going to have to really rally behind one. Those candidates will have to work it out. They need to get out and campaign and rally behind one.
What's the timeline for that?
And the thing to watch for is when the left starts eating their own. So as soon as a prominent Democrat announces that they're going to run, that's when it will probably slide and Newsom will have a good chance of actually being recalled. Because they take a big risk of not putting a prominent Democrat on that ballot and only leave it to Republicans.
So what's the timeline? How does this play out in California?
Well, they're gonna delay it, but most of the experts believe that the recall election will be sometime in the fall, so October, November, December.
So back to Congress, where does this big slush fund bill go? I mean, it's heading for the Senate. Obviously, there's a one vote.
Yeah, and it is a slush fund. You guys understand that. They're doing this. It's a Trojan horse. They're using COVID. We just passed a COVID bill 45 days ago that Donald Trump signed into law. They haven't even spent all that money yet. And so this is going to be their slush fund for the next 4 years to buy votes, give money to their friends. I mean, remember Solyndra? Remember that? Everybody forgets this stuff. Cash for clunkers, all those good things. That's, they'll probably won't make those mistakes, but they are going to do this tunnel supposedly.
And that is headed over to the Senate.
Headed to the Senate, and look, my guess is that eventually, look, you're talking about $2 trillion. They're going to be able to get to 50 votes. They're going to buy the votes off.
Ladies and gentlemen, will you join me in thanking California Representative Devin Nunes?
Thank you, guys.